A few weeks ago, I found myself watching one of my favorite guilty pleasures as of late, the Sex and the City reboot, and just like that, when something struck my attention. There was baseball in the background of a scene. A baseball game that sounded suspiciously real. The character Steve was watching it when his wife Miranda came in to tell him that she wanted a divorce.
With two on and two out, runners at the corners, Gentry looks in for the sign. And the pitch, and that one is low, ball two. He missed that one as Baker had to pull it out of the dirt. He did a great job of blocking the play, so the pitch didn't...
That sounds like real baseball. That level of detail, looking in for the sign, blocking the ball in the dirt, that doesn't sound like a fake game. Those are specific, evocative details that made me think of baseball. It sounded like a real game, even though I wasn't sure if the names checked out with any box score. I felt like I had to figure out where it came from. Especially in the middle of a lockout, where there were no real baseball games for me to watch. Instead, I went down the rabbit hole in search of this fake one.
Gentry looks in for the sign, and the pitch, and that one is low, ball two. He missed that one as Baker had to pull it out of the dirt.
I recognized the names. The pitcher was Gentry, which seemed like it could be Gary Gentry from the 1960s and 70s. Baker, as a catcher, I wasn't sure about, but Baker, that's so common. I went to Baseball Reference and started looking for a game that could fit. Surely Gentry had pitched to a Baker as a catcher at least once. But I was wrong. Gentry had never pitched to a Baker, and neither had any other Gentry in Major League Baseball history. So this wasn't an MLB game. But I wasn't sure where else to look, because it sounded so clearly like it was one. I went through some other options. I thought about minor league games or college games, but I realized that's a fruitless search, so I should do the next best thing, which is post about this on Twitter and wait until someone with an IMDb Pro subscription DMs me and says, here's the contact information for one of the sound mixers, which did happen. I took that contact info, I reached out and thought, this will be easy. Surely this person will be able to tell me what exactly was going on here. The sound mixer gets back to me. He confirms that was fake audio that was made just for the show. But the sound department didn't make it. It had been outsourced to something called a loop group, which is the group that puts together all of the sound that loops in the background of a show or a movie. Perfect, I thought. I'll go talk to the loop group. But the next step was asking him who that loop group was, and he couldn't tell me. Because as it turns out, the world of loop groups can be kind of secretive. The first thing that came up when I Googled them was a headline that read, "The Mafia of the Acting World, Hollywood Secret Loop Groups," from The Hollywood Reporter. Sometimes they were put together by the network, sometimes by the producers, sometimes by the sound department, and in this case, the sound mixer couldn't tell me who the loop group had been. Production was shut down, everyone was gone, and he told me that the trail was dead. I kept asking, sure that there had to be some answer here. But then he sent me the one-line email that should have shut it all down. "Sorry, Emma," it said, "the trail is officially dead." For a normal person, that probably would have been a sign to stop. For me, someone who was now passionately invested in this, it was a sign that I had to keep going until I found the answer. I realized I had to go deeper into the world of loop groups. I looked at some of the ones that were less secretive about their work and tried to figure out how they were usually credited. Sometimes they weren't credited at all, but sometimes they were, and that was my opening. In the credits of the Sex and the City reboot, there had been one line of additional vocal casting. That term sometimes showed up with loop groups, and it seemed like it might work here. I went back to the credits, I checked who was next to additional vocal casting, and the names were right there. Dan Fink and Bruce Winant. Bruce had a LinkedIn profile, and he had his email listed. An hour later, I was on the phone with Bruce.
Hello?
Hello, Emma. This is Bruce Winant calling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
He's been in the business for more than 30 years.
Dan and I are actors, and we met doing Les Miserables in Los Angeles, the original L.A. company, and just kind of had this looping stuff as a fun little side hustle. Over the last 7-8 years, the looping pretty much takes up all our time now.
And this was just one of the many fake baseball games he's done. He's been asked to do hockey, football, horse racing, and more, including soccer and Spanish, although that one he had to outsource. And his work goes way beyond fake sports. As part of a Loop group, he's responsible for all of the background noise in a show or film. Every single show involves this. Any sound with background noise is going to be added by a Loop group. That means a scene in a restaurant where you have diners at another table, you have the waitresses, you have all of that sound going on in the background. That's all added in after the fact, and it's added in by people like Bruce. While he does all of that background noise, one of his favorite things to do are sports, and he enjoys baseball in particular.
I'm a big sports fan, so I do a lot of our play-by-play stuff. I listen to a lot of it. I understand the cadence. I go online, and I'll find a game that fits what we're looking for. I'll listen to it to get the flavor, and then write my own version of it.
It was clear from that little clip of Sex and the City that he spoke the language. The game had sounded like it could be real. It wasn't just the information, but it was the cadence, the rhythm he was speaking in. It sounded like a real broadcast, and that's something he takes pride in.
I thought it was fascinating when I got your email. I just thought, oh, cool. Someone like you, who obviously knows sports very well, our hope is that it sounds real and authentic. Get the feedback that it did, you know, that's a big compliment, and that's what we go for. So that the people who do know, and it does catch their ear, won't go, what? What did he say? No.
Baseball has a long relationship with being background noise. It's perfect for the radio, it grew alongside the medium, and it shines as something that keeps time in the background. Here, it was explicitly background noise. But that shared language was common with Bruce, and with me, and with Steve in Sex and the City, asked to turn down the game.
It's fun to put those games together because it's like, oh, this is the kind of game I'd like to see.
And as I listened to him talk about the process, I realized it was a game that I would like to see, too.